is what brings us together today.
Ah, marriage, raising kids, building a family. Those were the things we dreamed of.
Tuck your daughter in!
Always!
Just calm down.
I've given you the best years of my life.
Take out the trash!
Yeah, I'll get to it.
I want a divorce!
Welcome to Thrive with Pastor Brad Digney, diving into what it means to thrive, not merely survive in marriage, parenting, and family life. And now your host, this is Pastor Brad Digney.
Yo, Billy Joel has sold 150 million records, sold out Madison Square Garden 45 years in a row, and has dated some of the hottest supermodels. But 3 years after being inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, he said this, quote, "The happiest times in my life were when my relationships were going well, when I was in love with someone, and someone was loving me. But in my whole life, I haven't met the person I can sustain a relationship with yet, so I'm discontented and I have regrets." Oh, we're talking about love, real love, biblical love that we've seen in previous shows is, according to God's word, a choice because it's an action and it can be learned. And oh, as you learn how to get on the path of love and how to do love, feelings follow. We've got a culture and a world that tries to hitch whatever they think is a loving relationship to feelings, and they hitch and unhitch and rehitch and unhitch over and over and over because they do not understand what God's word tells us. You're listening to Thrive, and I'm your host, Brad Bigney, and we're trying to get a hold of what God says instead of what our world tells us and drums into us and sings to us and shows us in movies. We have to unlearn what we picked up from the world so that we can learn and soak in and begin to live out what God actually tells us. When the interviewer continued in that interview with Billy Joel, they were kind of taken back by what he said. The interviewer reminded him, hey, you're in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I mean, this is the apex. This is what people shoot for in your world of music. And he said, quote, "That's cold comfort at the end of the day. You can't go home with the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. You don't sleep with the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. You don't get hugged by the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I want what everybody else wants, to love and be loved. Being in love has always been the most important thing in my life." Oh, I've been telling you, it's not wrong to want it. It's absolutely normal to want it. The human heart hungers and longs after being loved and to love and to be loved unconditional and to be loved and to love. Because we're created in the image of God, and God is not a cosmic force. He's a person. He's a Father. He's in relationship with the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit are in relationship with each other. He's a relational being, and He made us in His image. And God is love. And so by nature, we long for it. We long for it. But here's the problem, and my heart goes out to Billy Joel because I believe what he's saying. I believe he means it. But notice where he's focused. He's focused on being in love. Listen to it again. Being in love has always been the most important thing in my life. And I think what he's indicating is that feeling, that thing that you know, wow, this is it. This is it. And so often that's the problem. God doesn't command us to be perpetually in love. He doesn't promise that you will perpetually feel love. He commands us to learn to love, choose to love, and over time, guess what you discover? You'll wake up saying, wow, I think I am in love with this person. But it will be because you chose to love them. You chose to do what God's word says. Because we saw in 1 Corinthians 13, love has feet on it. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not rude. Love is not arrogant. Love is not irritable. And love keeps no record of wrong. And then we saw how verses 7 through 8 ramps it up into thin air, takes it up to a high place that can only be captured and fulfilled by Jesus Christ himself when it says, love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. That is talking about Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ himself embodies the love that we're longing for and embodies the love that we're called to give to those around us. And if you think, whoa, I can't do it, you're right, you can't. But with Jesus living in you and beginning to control you, his love in you should begin to pass through you to others. Because real love doesn't have self at the center. Real love is giving to the needs of another. But oh, our culture is intoxicated with itself, is it not? I remember being in a boutique for young girls because Vicky and I were looking for some earrings for one of our daughters. And I'm just browsing around and stumble onto this display rack of little knickknacks. And four of the seven, I kid you not, four of the seven keychains. And this is a shop that is catering towards young girls. Four of the seven keychain designs they were selling said, I love me. One of them was even more direct. It said, it's all about me, me, me. You could even buy a t-shirt that said, I love me. It's in our jewelry. It's in our marketing. It's in our clothing. It's in our music. And yet this is not what God's word teaches. We've been told by psychology today that, oh, every person just needs to think more about themselves. Every person needs to build themselves up. Every person needs to love themselves. You even hear it in Christian songs where someone will say, you can't even love others until you love yourself. Guess what? You did not find that in the Bible. You pick that up from the culture. We pick things up from the culture just like stepping in it in the front yard and dragging it into your living room. And you never meant for it to be there, but you picked it up out there in the yard. That's what happens to us. We pick up from the world ideas and definitions and belief systems and ideologies and philosophies that are not biblical. And then we try to make it work. And guess what? It doesn't work. It doesn't work. It's all in our music today. Even remember the big hit song by Whitney Houston that she sang that loving yourself is the greatest love of all. It's a great song. I love Whitney Houston. I love her voice. I miss her voice. But oh my goodness, this is not biblical. She said this, I found the greatest love of all inside of me. The greatest love of all is easy to achieve. Learning to love yourself is the greatest love of all. I'm quoting the lyrics of this song. Wow. Is loving yourself the greatest love? Have you hit the apex? Is that when we step up into the thin air of 1 Corinthians 13:7? You're really, really getting close to the most amazing love when you love yourself? No. That's not what the Bible teaches. Loving yourself is not the apex of human achievement. That's not what we need to focus on most. And once again, we got to go to the Bible for answers rather than pop culture, because the Bible tells us something far different. Listen again to what Jesus said when he was pressed to tell us what matters most from God's word, right? It's a big book. There's a lot in there. So what is it that matters most? Can you boil it down for us, Jesus? When the religious leaders pressed him that way, here's what he said in Matthew 22:37-39. Jesus said, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. In other words, this is the greatest love, Whitney, not loving yourself. And then he says the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. In other words, I want you to love your neighbor the way you already love yourself. It's not three commands. Love God, love your neighbor, and start by loving yourself. He assumes you love yourself. He's like, I know you love you. I watch you. Now love your neighbor like you love yourself. The Bible tells us that every one of us is already doing quite well with the love that Whitney Houston sang about. Loving self. But real love that you find in the Bible and you see embodied in Jesus Christ, real love is never focused on self, does not make it all about self. There is one line in Whitney's song that is exactly right when she says, the greatest love of all is easy to achieve. Yes, it is, because it's natural. That's what we want anyway. We want to make much of us. We want to love us. That's where she gets it right. That is easy. Real love is hard. You'll need God's help. Oh, we're going to take a break, and we'll come back and we'll keep talking about what does real look like? What does real love look like as opposed to just obsessing over ourselves?
We'll be back with more from Pastor Brad in just a moment, but man, that Billy Joel quotes, I want what everyone else wants, to love and be loved. Well, he's searching. He's still searching after all these years, and that's heartbreaking, isn't it? But it's also kind of telling. Here's the thing Brad's getting at. When we make being in love the goal instead of learning how to actually love, we're going to end up like Billy Joel, successful by every worldly measure, but still empty when it comes to what matters the most. This is the stuff culture is telling us. Love ourselves first. You see it everywhere, absolutely everywhere. You can't scroll through social media without seeing me, 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 me. You can't love anyone until you've loved yourself. Yeah, well, Pastor Brad says that's not biblical, and he's absolutely correct. It's not. It's culture dressed up to sound wise is all it is. And if this type of thing that Brad is talking about, if cutting through the noise of what you've been hearing about love and relationships is helpful, would you consider standing with us? We are looking for people just like you, people who honestly get it. People who understand that biblical truth isn't always popular, but it's what actually works. We've been at it for over 25 years. Same mission, just with a new name. We first started as Wretched Radio, then Gospel Partners Media. Now we stand as Fortis Institute with all of our fellows who are a part of this mission. And we want you to join this mission as well, because we can't do it without gospel partners just like you. Gospel partners who say, yeah, this matters. This right here, what Brad Bigney is doing matters. Keep doing this, and I'm going to help you do it. Now, not at the expense of your local church, however. That always comes first. Make sure you're faithful in giving there, and you're not strapped by any kind of unmanaged debt. And if those areas of your life look good, then we would love for you to partner with us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner. We would be honored to lock arms with you. All of the details you can find right now at fortisinstitute.org. And while you're there, check out Fortis Plus if you haven't downloaded it yet. It's free, absolutely free. Everything we do here is free. It's exactly why we exist. When you need biblical clarity that cuts through the confusion culture throws on you, look to Fortis Plus. Absolutely free of charge. Hundreds of hours of audio and video content available right now. 7 new pieces of that content is added every single day. You can download Fortis Plus right now where you download your apps, or you can just go to fortisplus.org. Now let's get back to Pastor Brad. He's going to keep unpacking what real love actually looks like when it stops being about us. This is Thrive. Welcome back to Thrive.
You're exactly like your mother.
Are you kidding me?
Life with you was joyless.
And now back to your host, Pastor Brad Bigney.
Oh, we're talking about real love. And when you turn to the Bible and when you fix your eyes on our Savior Jesus, you see that it is not all about self. It's not focused on self. Real love is focused on others, giving to the needs of another. And so it's love for God and love for other people, starting with those closest to us in our home, our spouse, our children, that we have to work at, because it doesn't come easy. Loving yourself, you're right, Whitney, is easy to achieve. loving God and others takes effort, but it's an effort worth doing. God will help you do it as you choose to do it. But now some of you might be thinking, okay, Brad, so the Bible says that we already love ourselves. In a previous show, I read 2 Timothy 3 to you. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of pleasure, lovers of money. So the Bible says we love ourselves. So what about people that go around saying they hate themselves? They hate themselves. Why do some people say they hate themselves? Well, here's the first thing I want you to think about. It's always good to remember that people and our culture cannot be our standard for truth. The fact that you hear people saying that does not mean you should say, okay, that's true. There are people who actually hate themselves. Don't let what people say or do be your standard for what truth is. People are already always changing, and people are often confused. The Bible says in Romans 3, verse 4, let God be true, but every man a liar. And God's word says that we love ourselves. And then he tells us you need to work on loving God and loving others. You don't need to work on loving yourself. So what is behind that? Why do some people say, well, and you might be thinking, I have a friend. She says she hates herself. I have a friend. He hates himself. What's going on? Let me give you some reasons that people do often say this. Some people hate themselves, and they say they hate themselves to gain sympathy and support. If you talk down about yourself, you might get extra strokes from those around you. It's an effort to get affirmation. I'll talk low, and I hope that you will respond by saying, oh, no, that's not true. So sometimes it's driven by a desire to gain sympathy and support. Let me give you another possibility. There are people that say they hate themselves because guilt has brought personal revulsion and uncomfortable feelings in their life. They really do feel guilty over some of the things they've done. They have turmoil over the way they're living. And so it's not actually themselves that they truly hate. They hate where they've landed in life. I have so many people in counseling that just look at me and say, I never thought this would be my life. I never thought that I would be here. And there's times that people have sinned against us, but I'm talking about people who have made choices that have landed them where they are. And they know some of those choices were not good. And so guilt has brought a measure of personal revulsion. Here's something else to consider. Some people say they hate themselves because it gives them, think about this, an excuse to focus on themselves. To brag is unacceptable. I mean, people do it, but we don't enjoy it. Like, oh, look at him, look at her. And it's unacceptable, but it's socially acceptable to be down on yourself. And what this is often is just false humility. It's actually the underbelly of pride. Because think about it, whether you're talking about how great you think you are or how terrible you think you are, your focus is still on yourself. Pride. Real humility is not that I think about myself all the time, how great I am, and it's not that I pummel myself continually saying, I'm so bad, I'm so bad. Genuine biblical humility just doesn't think about self. You're busy focusing on others, loving others, blessing others, living for the glory of God. Self is just not in the equation that much. So there are people that say they hate themselves because it gives them an excuse to focus on themselves without being seen as obnoxious like braggarts would be seen. But here's one more possibility. Sometimes people say they hate themselves because they're angry about their circumstances. They hate where they are. They hate decisions that they've made. They hate how life has turned out. But God's word tells us that people do not have a deficiency in loving themselves. That is not the biggest problem that each human being is bumping up against. Real love is focused on others and does not obsess over self, whether it's how great you think you are or how terrible you think you are, whether it's the things you think you've done so well or the decisions that you think you've made so poorly. Real love just doesn't focus on self and is focused on others. But here's what else characterizes biblical, genuine love. Real love is willing to sacrifice. Oh, we live in a culture that's so guarded, you know, and it's so in vogue today. Everybody's been hurt. I get it. And even church hurt is so hot now. Well, I've got church hurt. Let me be honest, you guys. I've got church hurt. Do you think I've been a pastor for 30 years and I've not been deeply hurt by people I've poured into that then just quickly and easily over some little issue they didn't agree with, leave the church and start attending somewhere else? That hurts. Worse than that, someone who begins to lash out and slander and say terrible things on their way out the door and rally others to think and do likewise. Everyone's been hurt today. We live in a fallen, broken world. And so the temptation is to pull back. I could begin to do ministry in a different way, in a more guarded way that protects myself, that doesn't take risks. But the ministry that I did would come across so different. It would not be nearly as effective. Real love, and God calls me to love our church family, specific people, individuals, just like He's called each of us who are married to love a real spouse, not just the idea of a spouse. It's so funny how we're more than willing to love the idea of that spouse and what we thought it was going to be when we said, I do. God calls us to love a real spouse in real time after you've begun to see, whew, this is not what I thought. This is not what I signed up for. This is not what I want. This doesn't match my agenda, my dream. Real love doesn't pull back and become guarded and safe. Love, biblical love, is willing to sacrifice. And by its very nature, this kind of love limits your freedom, but expands your life. It indeed limits your freedom because I'm called to not just do whatever I want, but what would be good for that other person. So in some sense, I'm limited now in what I can do. But we tend to think real joy is found in unlimited freedom to do whatever I want. It's really not. It's really not. You think about a train that's on a set of tracks. Real freedom from that train is staying on the rails. It can go fast. It can get places. If that train decides, hey, I want real freedom, I want off the rails, not only will it not get far, but it will lead to disaster, destruction. That's what we're experiencing as human beings as you continue to insist on real freedom. Real happiness would be doing whatever I want, not being limited by this other person. Nope, real love is willing to sacrifice. And by its very nature, this will limit your freedom as you adjust to your spouse what their needs are, or what, especially as you age, what their limitations are. Their limitations become your limitations as well, because you are one. You are one. But oh, it expands your life as you taste love and what God actually designed us to experience in marriage. C.S. Lewis gets it right when he says this: love anything and your heart will certainly be wrung and possibly broken. Yeah, there's a risk in really loving and giving. If you want to make sure of keeping it intact, you must give your heart to no one, not even to an animal. Wrap it carefully round with hobbies and little luxuries. Avoid all entanglements. Lock it up safe in the casket or coffin of your selfishness. But in that casket, safe, dark, motionless, airless, it will change. It will not be broken. It will become unbreakable, impenetrable, irredeemable. Real love does not focus on self and is willing to sacrifice. But you can do it when you know what God has done for you in His Son, the kind of love that He has given us in His Son and continues to give us in his son is what we draw upon. And it's a deep well. It doesn't run dry. There's no limitation. There's no shelf life. It's not like good this year and next year you don't have it. His love never ends. And we draw upon that to extend it to our spouse.
This has been Thrive from Pastor Brad Bigney, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Thrive with Pastor Brad Bigney, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.